Well, I'm glad we're here today. Y'all glad to be here today? Anybody glad to be here today? Y'all glad to be in church today? Well, good. It's been a phenomenal 8 o'clock service. Out of this world 9:30 service, and so I know 11 o'clock's even going to get crazier than that. And I want to pray that you receive in Acts 5 who we're to be as the church. I want you to think a minute. The church released. What does that look like? The church released. And Hillview, I just want to kind of give you a heads up. I know I'm in 11 o'clock service. I'm around all you young bloods that are moving and grooving and got, but you know what? Even you all have become quieter than you need to be. You know, some of you getting latter 20-something, you start to age a little bit. You start to think, I'm supposed to be adult. I'm supposed to be mature, you know, newlyweds, you know, now I'm to calm down. Well, here's the challenge I want to give. Who told us to calm down anyway?
Nobody.
I've been told all my life since the day I hit this world to calm down. Some of you go, and you hadn't listened yet. No, I have not. And I want to tell you why, because Jesus never tells us to calm down. Mama tell you to calm down. Daddy tell you to calm down. Your grandparents definitely tell you to calm down. Church leaders tell you to calm down. They've been telling me to calm down. They still do that. I saw one of the fine gentlemen I ministered with for years. And guess what he said? He said, Harris, have you calmed down yet? I said, nope. He said, what's happening? I said, it's getting worse. He said, well, you got gray hair now. I said, yeah, it's getting worse. I said, in fact, it's getting so bad, I'm kind of enjoying watching it happen. And I really believe this. It's a word. And John Paul, you're going to hear one of my buddies come out, watch my knee there. Release. Release. But we haven't done it yet. And I'm telling you, if there's a moment in history that the world, the nation, our moment could really use the released church, it's right now. It's right now. Jesus is Lord. He is forever. He's always. And he's looking for his followers to really let it out. To let it out in a big way. Well, let's look at what happened. By the way, Pastor Jamie told you last week that Ananias and Sapphira got zapped. How many of y'all were here last week at the sermon? Ananias, how do you all, who got that little hippie flower Jesus? How do you deal with that? I mean, here's, you know, God Almighty. And that, now, I want to make sure you heard the sermon. Why did Ananias and Sapphira get zapped? Good, thank you. They lied. It had nothing to do with money. And, I've heard preachers use that. If you don't give to their building fund, you'll be zapped. That's absolutely crazy. It's lying. God doesn't like lying. And this is unfortunate. When I get around churchgoers, guess what they do most of the time?
Wow.
Thank you, Tyler. Is that right? Why would it be higher in that group more than any other group? Honesty starts the release with God. This is where I am. You can't be saved till you get honest. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all realize God knows what you've done? He knows where you went online without looking at your history. You say, can I delete it? Nope. But God can redeem it. Isn't that great? I'm not going to be deleted, but I'm going to be redeemed. I'm going to be forgiven. I'm going to be repositioned. I'm going to be able to accomplish what I could not accomplish before in Christ. Is it real or not? I say it is. What do you think? I think it's real. I think God is real. How many of y'all believe God is real? Are y'all just hanging out because somebody said come to church today? Will this really work? Yeah. Will it work if you continue to lie? No. What does it mean to be really honest? It means this first and foremost. You got to know who you are. How many of y'all have gotten this honest? You and I have sinned against God. Okay, you're not going to know salvation until you get honest. Lord, I'm a sinner. Now, how many of y'all still trying to con your way into heaven? How many of y'all do this one? Well, I'm a good person. Really? How good? How good? Well, y'all go ahead and talk a little bit today because this is a good day to talk. Well, I'm not good enough. I mean, and what is goodness? Who is goodness defined by? You. But when we look at God, he doesn't go with goodness. He goes with greatness. He goes beyond, and he invites us to join with him. That's exciting news. Let's get honest before God today. We need Jesus in our lives. How many of y'all are that far along? I need Jesus Christ in my life. Claudine, what do you think? Has life been different with Jesus than without Jesus? What do you think? It seems just like yesterday you were up in that baptistry jumping around. Now you're married and y'all are moving on and God's doing great things. You've gone from the baptistry to marriage to Haiti. Short amount of time. See how quick God can move with a life that is surrendered. Coach Obi, how do you get from California to Bowling Green? Only by the Holy Spirit. Man would not arrange that appointment, but God would. Hello? That's kind of like how you can be born in Nazareth. Y'all have been to Nazareth? Pew, when I take you to Nazareth one day, you're going to step in there and you're going to go, that's it? That's it. From Nazareth, God changed the world. God changed the universe. God changed all things. So it doesn't matter where you're located. Somebody hear what I'm trying to tell you? It matters who you're located with. Now let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Well, what was happening? Ananias and Sapphira have received their consequence from lying to God. People are a little bit nervous. This church thing is pretty serious. And now the apostles are so immersed in releasing the Spirit. Look at what happens. The apostles performed. Look what it says. They performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Now here's what I want you to know. How many of y'all realize there are miraculous signs still in motion today? Guess what? You're sitting by one. Elizabeth, you know what you married? A miraculous sign, baby. When you wake up in the morning, you ought to thank God. God, thank you for my miraculous sign. Because can you imagine me not saved? Yes, you can, because you've been there when you've seen glimpses of that. You know what I married? A miraculous sign. You know who you're sitting by? Tell them. Tell them. I want you to talk into her. Tell them. I'm sitting next to a miraculous sign. Come on. I want you to confess it. You're a miraculous sign, brother, even though you got a UK shirt on. What do you think about that? Still miraculous. I have to be kind to UK people. My daughter's going to be one of them. Only person in our family bleeding blue. The rest of us, we red. We toppers. If Blake graduates sometime this decade, he'll be a topper. All right, look at here. You ready? Look at here. Look at here. Look at here. You are a miraculous sign. What do you think? Mark, what do you think? Have you ever woken up in the morning and just go, self, I'm a miraculous sign. Now, hold on. I want us to redefine. Sometimes we need to reconfigure. We need to redefine who we are. You see, if we would receive that we were a miraculous sign of God, then we would vibrate and signal the miraculous of God. So we don't see the miraculous in our culture because I think we don't believe it is miraculous. You see, I don't take for granted that I got saved. I believe that was by the mercy of God. How many of y'all believe that's by the mercy of God? I don't believe God looked at me and said, Ayers, you deserve to be saved. I had to look at God and say, by your mercy, God, I got hope. And that's it. Miraculous sign. So guess what? God can release a miraculous sign in your life. You know what? There's miracles that have happened here at Hillview. You know what? Let me tell you a story. Sometimes we get real super churchy, holy people that come to Hillview. And back here before we built the building, we used to have the smoking section. Now, I had some church people. They were real disturbed that we had a smoking section. People would go out there and smoke cigarettes. You know what those people didn't know? They didn't know what we'd quit smoking. We were down to cigarettes. And that's a miracle. And so I had this real churchy lady. She said, I'm not coming back here. I saw somebody smoke a cigarette. I go, I'm glad you're not Jesus. And she said, well, do you think it's okay for them to smoke? I said, ma'am, you don't understand what they've quit smoking. See, you don't understand what's standing out there, you and your little judgmental church purse. I said, let me tell you something right now. You see, I activated my judgmental spirit too. I got one. I said, let me tell you what. I said, there's walking miracles out there. There's people there that somebody told them they could never got off drugs, and they've been living clean for 20 years. That's a miraculous sign. That's God release. That's real. You see the cross of Jesus will get down there where you live. So it'll take away what's killing you and bring you to life. Wonders were being exhibited. Now, Hillview, I'm going to tell you, it's time to turn up a knob, push the button, turn your iPod up, whatever you need to do to increase volume. We need to vibrate the reality of God. Now, you can't do that unless you breathe in the reality of God. I would propose to you all as a generation, the T-shirts, bumper stickers, and sweet little slogans, they're not working. It was nice at camp. We put on our glow-in-the-dark bracelets. We wore all this paraphernalia. We had Jesus flip-flops, whatever those are. How about a real changed life? And y'all are on your way to vibrating some things. You know what? A lot of y'all have gotten married this summer. Stay married. Guess what you'll do 20 years from now? Vibrate the glory of God. Y'all using that language, all these young preachers y'all got now. You know, Pastor Ayers, our job is to glorify God. That's great. What does that mean? Glorify God. But I mean, what does it mean? Glorify God. Well, let's put some definition to it. You know how you glorify God? Stay married. That'll freak people out in the 21st century. Elizabeth and I freak people out. They look at us. We were in Vegas celebrating our anniversary. As we were talking to these little girls, they were waiting on Elizabeth, showing her jeans that cost more than our house. And I couldn't believe it. This girl said, these are such and such jewel-studded jeans. I said, how much are they? She said, $750. I said, they make them in Tompkinsville, Kentucky. I know where they made those jeans. She goes, you're not from around Vegas, are you? I said, what to clue you in, honey? So she looked at Elizabeth and she said, is this your girlfriend? Said she was. I said, really? She said, were y'all just hanging out together? I said, we've been hanging out a long time. She goes, she's your wife? I said, yeah. I said, we're out here celebrating at that time as our 20th anniversary. She goes, you've been married 20 years? Now, what she freaked out about was, you know what she really thought Elizabeth was? My mistress. Now, it made me feel bad because it made me feel like I was out with a younger woman. And I'm like, what's up with you, girl? I'm not an old man, just old. But you know what blew her away? You know what blew her away? She couldn't believe we'd been married for 20 years. She had never heard of that in her culture. So one cool way to vibrate the signs of God is what? Honor a marriage covenant. Isn't that cool? Chad, first of all, people get freaked out that Tanya married you, right? Absolutely. Tell them, testify, brother, testify. Yes. And then, but you've stayed what? 18
years.
Blows people away, doesn't it? They go, how did that happen? Well, instead of saying, you know, I married the right person, why don't we say, I follow the right God? Yeah. Hello? And he has a personal name. His name is who? Jesus. See, that's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to give you all some handles on being signs and wonder people. Now, I also believe this. I want you to know where your pastor stands. I believe God can still heal people. I believe he can tell the blind to see and they'll see and the lame to walk and they'll walk. And I believe that nobody in this world has permission to tell God what he can and cannot do. Amen. You know why? When the word becomes flesh, all things become possible. Can y'all remember that? And so if any preacher ever tells you, well, now I don't believe the miracles of God are like they were in the Bible because God has ceased in that era, you're listening to a fool. Let me tell you what you're listening to. You're listening to a man that thinks he can outstudy God's power. So if you know a man that's trying to outstudy God's power, you're listening to a fool. Now here's what a smart man does. He is God and he can do anything he wants to do. Isn't that true? Now, that's the kind of God I follow. I follow the kind of God that'll bring hope to the hopeless and where the possible can happen in the midst of the impossible. How many of y'all have a Jesus like that? Amen. I mean, that's the real one. That's the one that's out there. You say, well, where are we, church? We need to release this God. Now look what happened in this early church. Miraculous signs were done. Will you look at your neighbor and says, I will be a sign. Just go ahead and tell him, I will be a sign. Oh, come on, talk a little bit. I will be a sign. See now, here's where we're going. It's time for us to release the witness. Business people, you know how you assign? Listen, here's the way you assign in today's time. Let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. In today's time, that'll blow people away. They think that's a miracle. If you're an employer or you're working, let me tell you what, show up on time. I mean, let's talk real witness. Wearing a Jesus t-shirt, I mean, how much effort does that take? Thank you, Tyler. Not very much. Obedience unto God is responsibility to show the world Jesus' ways are better. And look what it said. All the people in the community, guess what? When the church met together, they wondered what was going to happen. As they met together, look, all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's what? Colonnade. They're in the colonnade. They're in the meeting place. When they met together, guess what? People wondered what they were up to. Now, church, I want us to lean in here a little bit. There ought to be power when we gather. Now, let me help you. Power has nothing to do with volume. I've been to a lot of loud services with no power. And I've been to a lot of silent services with a lot of power. It has nothing to do with how we can disturb the place, but it has everything to do with how we will release what God will disturb. Somebody know what I'm talking about? You see, I've lived long enough, I know it in a heartbeat. I know the difference between good music and anointed music. I've heard bad notes that were anointed that do a lot more than sound notes with no anointing. See, I've seen worship leaders and I've seen worship divas. Big difference. One, you start seeing God, and the other, you get tired of seeing them. Y'all know I'm telling the truth, too. I've heard preachers that preach the word of God, and then I've heard some motivational speakers. Here's the problem with motivational speakers. They last about as long as the parking lot is long. Hear about Jesus, he gets into you on Monday morning. How many of y'all still got something on Monday morning? You see, there ought to be a sign that you've been with God. I want you to see how intense it was. These folks were so intense that no one else dared enter their meeting. They were a little nervous. God was in the house, even though they were highly regarded by the what? So they were respected, but they were dangerous. Can we get there, church? We need to be respected, but yet what? You know, Hillview, I love you guys because you all really, you want to follow God. That's a heart desire here. But it's funny. I've never heard this in 21 summers said about our church. I've never heard anybody say, I kind of like Hillview. They either hate this place or love this place. And I love it. Because that's, guess what that means? Guess what that means? It's got teeth in it. Kind of like the Oakland Raiders. You either love them or you what? Hate them. Isn't that right? You're out there in California. I mean, you're either a Raiders fan or you're what? Not. But even if you aren't a Raiders fan, you still what? Respect them because they walk with a swagger. Well, guess what? We need to get rid of our swagger, but we need to walk as a sign. We need to walk in life being a miraculous sign of what God is doing. Does that make sense? What God is doing. Not what he will do. What he is what? Doing. Because he's doing it, man. People got saved today. Sign of God in the 21st century. The Spirit of God's moving in here right now. Sign. Let me give you three things that'll help you be a sign. First of all, be kind. Be kind. Those who follow Jesus are kind. Churchgoers are usually rude. How many of y'all found it to be true? Churchgoers want to know what you've been up to. Jesus followers want to know what he's been up to. Yeah. Does that help you? Be kind. Say nice words to people. Men, open the door for ladies, even if they're liberated. We know you can open your own door. But we still need gentlemen. Hello? They need to be respectful. especially if it's your wife. Number two, share. How many of y'all need to learn how to share? Share. Share your life. Share your wisdom. Share your meaning. Share what you've been given with others, man. Share. You know, if we'd share, we'd take care of a lot of problems in this world. If everybody just shared a little bit with everybody else, guess what? It'd work. But everybody got to share. See, here's what we got going on today in society. We got share and take. That's not the kingdom of God. That's the devil's kingdom. You got to see, only the devil makes takers. Because the devil's a what? Hello? What's the devil do? What else does he do? Which is what's stealing? Good. What's destroying? What's killing? So what does the devil do? What else can he do? Nothing. That's his whole game plan. Take. Now you understand the demonic kingdom? It takes. What's God always do? JP, you've been following Jesus. What's God always do? Jesus always does what? Giver. World gives Jesus death. And what does Jesus give it back? Life. He's always a giver. God's on the give. Satan's on the what? Take. That's why the devil offers you things that seem fun, and they are entertaining for the moment. Let's get honest. I talk about being honest today. How many of y'all understand? The devil looks enjoyable in the beginning. Because what the devil does have this ability. The devil can make you feel good. How many of y'all realize, how many of y'all this far along, there are a lot of sins that feel good in the beginning that take your life. Yeah. If you do a line of cocaine, you will what? Last for about 3 hours. And then what? Well, you've taken on paranoia. You've taken on running from the cops. You've taken on hiding from your wife. You've taken on a lot of things that are going to what? Kill you. How many of y'all have ever walked, you know, you sitting there at work, you get a little bored at work, on your little computer, and you look across the aisle, and she looks what? I mean, the truth is, she looks good. And then you look down at your ring, and you think about how many times your wife has called you, you know, stupid and other things like that, and you look again. Now, as soon as you've looked twice, you're in the devil's trap. Let's say, you know, you slip over to the aisle and you have a little conference. And then what has opened up after the conference? I want to make sure you men are clear about this. You run around with another woman, you have opened the gates of hell in your life. Men are the stupidest creatures on the face of the earth. Dumbest things I know. Go out and have an affair with a woman and expect her to not tell somebody. Now, there's a dumb man. A woman can't help but what? They can't help it. If you tell them not to tell anybody, BKO can't get it on faster than a woman can get it in town. True? I mean, read the scripture. Who's Paul always? Tell Priscilla, tell Eunice, tell them to be quiet. Because what were they doing? So here's how brilliant men are. This is where they get messed up real bad. They go have an affair, and she's not going to tell anybody. Let me tell you what happens. She's got to call her what? Her best friend. And she's going to say, don't tell nobody. You have heard it. She said, I got something to tell you, and don't tell what? Don't tell nobody. Click. Next second. Girl, I got to talk to you. Now, don't tell nobody. Now, men, here's how crazy it is. Before you arrive back to your house, she will know. Yes. Oh, yeah. So if your wife is standing there with a butcher knife in her hand, that's not because you're having steaks tonight. But you know where it started? You know where it started? Your refusal to be a miraculous sign. Your refusal to meet together in the presence of God. Your refusal to live out what He's already done. Your refusal to please Him. If you really want to know where hell is, just don't please God. That's where it starts. But if you want to know where a life of full abundance is, start pleasing God. Meet together expecting. Be dangerous in your faith. God's doing something great. Folks wouldn't even join in because they knew these people were serious. Nevertheless, guess what happened? People brought more and more men and women to the Lord. Look at this. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. How many times, hear me because we're about to finish up today. How many times have you heard this in the book of the Acts, in the book of Acts, the book of God's activity? And more were added to their number. Young men, I know some of you all are interested in the ministry. If you want to hold a small group of about 12 people and that's all you want to do, go do something else. We've reached our quota of selfish pastors in America. We need some ministers that have more and more mentality. We don't have those brothers. We got people who won't stick their head in a computer and read a book the rest of their life. Those are called monks. We need some ministers that not only want to contemplate what God said, they want to go be what God said. Let me tell you, you're going to go to seminary. I haven't been there. It's a whole lot easier to talk about Jesus in seminary than it is at the bar. We need some bar Jesus guys. They can just sit right there on a stool and say, let me tell you something. Not that you'd be at the bar, honey. But tell you about who?
Jesus.
About who?
Jesus.
University students, man, I'm just feeling Western might have a little spiritual awakening this fall. What do y'all think? Pew, what do you think? You be okay going down in history? The Sean Pew revival era. People be studying about you one day, Sean. Young students wishing that you'd have never happened because they had to study about you now. What about it, guys? Seth, what do you think? Did you realize you're about to be done with college? Boy, that went quick, didn't it? Yeah. And guess what you got to do when you get out of college? Or customarily, this is what's good. Get a job. I know I've melted some of y'all down right now. You mean the Lord doesn't expect us to explore ourselves till we're 51 years old to find the meaning of life? Yeah, if you want to do that, just don't do it on the government tab or your parents' tab. I bet if you got to do it on your tab, you start working a lot quicker. If you got to really make a contribution. You know what our contribution is to God? Be the sign that God is real. Well, what happened in university, man, if we just witnessed on university? I'm not talking hokey. We don't need to have another rally. We don't need to fill up the stadium. We don't need to put bumper stickers on the back of the seat. And we don't need to pipe praise and worship music in during football practice. Well, if we start respecting one another, sharing with one another, being kind to one another, and living and loving one another like Jesus Christ has told us to, tell me what would happen at that campus. Wow. We'd save a lot of money on Christian bumper stickers, so maybe we could take that money and actually feed poor people. Maybe we could quit having all these conferences and just have the church. Maybe we wouldn't have to have a passion weekend if we'd just be passionate every week. Maybe God's already set a plan in motion, and the problem is we always want to do it our way and not His. Just suggestions. What do you think? What if we just daily loved Jesus? Wouldn't we be a what? Sign. I want some of you all to be this release. This amazes me what's gone on here. These believers were so convinced that Jesus would that even their shadow became dangerous. I believe God will heal you. Does He heal everybody? Obviously not. But does He heal? Yes. I have a lot of things I just don't know about God. But you know what I found? The things I do know are enough for a miraculous life. Look at here. Nevertheless, people came. They were added to their number. Guys, listen, we need people that want to see other people saved. Guess what? Today, some of y'all are going to be saved. I'm glad you're going to be added to the number. It's very biblical. Numbers add. Numbers add. The shadow of the Apostle Peter was so powerful. This blows me away. This is crazy. As a result, you know what? People came from towns and cities all over. They brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats with the possibility, at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. How many of y'all live in that kind of faith? You're so filled with God that people say, man, if their shadow hits me, I know I'm going to be touched by God. Well, guess what? There's no difference in us than the Apostle Peter. Mo, you got the same Holy Ghost in you that Peter did some 2,000 years ago. What do you think? Duncan, the same Jesus that said, get out, is the same Jesus that's in you. What do you think about that? You got to do it every week. You got friends and people that you love, but you have to look into their life. In the name of Jesus, get out so somebody else can go on. Same stuff. And the crowds gathered. They gathered to see what? The healing power of Jesus. You know what? I want us to release this church three ways. One, be kind to people. Release that. That's spiritual. Number two, share. Hello? Everybody got that? Do what? Share. How many of y'all need to get on the share? How many of y'all are selfish? You would believe how your life would change if you started looking on the give. What can I give to this? Not what can I get from it. You would be amazed at how your worship would change if you came in here giving versus getting. I hear people say this all the time. We're church shopping. Well, good. Get out of here. Because guess what you've already told me you are? I am a self-centered individual. I want a church that fits me. I'm not even asking for God the church he wants me in. I want a church that pleases me. What? That's weak. How about a God that changes you?
That's miraculous. Make sense?
That's depth. Well, here's the third thing. Bless somebody. How many of y'all need to bless somebody? How many of y'all need to get a blessing out on somebody? Yeah. Here's what blessed means. That you want somebody else's life to even go better than yours. Now, how many people you know like that? Very few, isn't it? Most of us, isn't this the way we do it?
Well, once I get my life really secure, then I'll help somebody else. Or once I get everything together.
Well, when's that going to be? When I've been living for 40-something years, and I don't have a lot of things together yet. Raised two kids. Still haven't got everything together yet. How many of y'all got everything together? Me either. Clay, you don't have everything together? You look together. But still got a few things working on, huh? I bet if we live to be 80, we'll still be getting some things together, right? But I'm going to tell you who I'm surrendered to. He who's already got it together. Jesus. Now, some of y'all need to connect. Well, all of us need Jesus. Some of you today, for the first time, are going to be drawn by the Holy Spirit to realize it's time to get honest. Say, Lord God, here I am. I'm a sinner. I need you in my life. I need your forgiveness. I believe you've died on the cross, risen from the grave, and I need you in my life. You say, will it work? Try it. Will it happen? Try it. Here's all I know. I've never seen a human being who genuinely received Jesus that hasn't genuinely been changed. Now, I've seen people that hang around church, and there's no difference in their life than before. Here's why. They just hung around church. Church won't save you. You know what I mean? That's why I'm very clear on this, because I know a lot of y'all have grown up in Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and you think coming to church is going to make a difference in your life. Well, you've got to meet Jesus for church to make a difference in your life. That would be like this. You saying you could hang around Elizabeth and never meet me and know me. You might hear about me, but to really know me, you got to what? Meet you. When you're hanging around a church, you're just hanging around a bride. But when you hang around the bride, the good news is she can introduce you to the who? to the groom. His name is Jesus. Jesus wants anybody in here today to be saved. I can say that with all authority of Scripture. For whosoever will believe. I got this beautiful family back here. Thank God for this message. Amen. That whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but will live for how long? Forever. Now that's why we preach. That's why I tell you the truth. That's why I'm straight up. That's why a lot of people walk out of here. I'm not going to preach Disney. I'm not the Waltons. I'm not the Brady Bunch. And I could care less about our American culture. It will all perish. If you think you're going to be known in heaven by your American Express card, you got a hell of a thing coming. You're going to tell God that you were rich, that you were mighty. You're going to tell this to a guy who paves with gold. I mean, how rich are you? God uses our, well, we don't even have an economic standard anymore, but back when we actually had an economic standard, we had a gold standard. Think about this, Woody. God uses our gold for his blacktop. What we consider precious, God considers road material. What we consider forever, God says that's a couple days up here. What we consider precious, God says, not near what I'm going to show you. So would you receive Jesus today? That's the big question. Would you be healed today? How many of y'all keep dragging in here sick all the time? Why don't you trust God? Just try it. I mean, what if you came to the altar and said, God, I feel bad all the time. I feel sick all the time. I don't know what's the matter. Heal me. Now, you got to listen to God because sometimes God says this, lose 20 pounds. And then we start doing this. But Lord, or God says, quit smoking cigarettes. Oh, now, Lord. Or God says, he had to tell me this, cut the fried food. I had to cut back on my fried food to continue to be y'all's pastor a little while longer. Because guess what? If I'd passed away early, y'all could have walked right by my cab. And he didn't quit eating fried chicken. Guess what the doctor told me? You're going to clog your pipes up if you don't quit eating fried chicken. So what do you got to quit doing? All the time. See, I believe in moderation. One chicken leg a month. Just so you can keep the flavor in your mouth. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to eat 5 buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken my first day there. I'm going to eat all of them. I'm going to eat chicken, grease, fries, and smoke after I get done. No, I'm just kidding. No smoking in heaven, that's the other place, okay? Be careful. Ready? Jesus is calling some of y'all out right now. Will you listen? Will you get honest? Because you know what? You can't share. You can't be kind. And you can't bless anybody till you get the real thing on the inside. How about it today? Some of you need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. Be a part of the church. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. That's the way you join the people of God. That's where it gets real. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I want to live and he'll bring you to life. After that, be faithful, follow him in baptism. Some of y'all need to come and say, Lord, I am not living up to what you put in me. Watch this, I guarantee you God answered this prayer. Lord, help me live up to what you want. What do you think God will do with that prayer? Come on. How many of you all are just participating in some stupid decisions you know God doesn't want you to do? You already know that. And you just need to tell God, I'm sorry, I want to listen, I want to get obedient and see what happens. It brings wholeness to our lives. Y'all been wonderful. Let's release the church. You do that by one follower at a time. If you don't know Christ, this altar is open. So stand with me. As our pastors come forward, they will be glad to receive you. Love on you. And we're just going to let, if you haven't been baptized, time to come forward and get that done. Next Sunday, we're baptizing a lot of people. Like you to be some of them. Like you to be some of them. If you haven't got that done, let's get that done so we can go on, roll on. If you haven't received Jesus, today's a great day to do it. Now pray with me, church. Don't lose what's in here. Don't turn away from it today. Listen to God today. Lord Jesus, these beautiful people, you made them. You knitted them together in the womb. And you've called many of them today to salvation. May they respond and listen. If that's you, just tell him, Lord Jesus, I've sinned. I repent right now. I want to turn away from what I used to be, and I want to receive, Jesus, your cross and your resurrection. Just tell him, Lord, forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me. If you've been sick today, or you got some habits, or you got some things you think can never be broken in your life, come on, listen to Jesus today. Let him heal you. Let him touch you. Let him restore you. Let him show you. You don't have to walk with that head down any longer. Be set free. So, church, they met together in Solomon's colonnade. You want to meet together at this altar? You want to ask God what he really might do with your life? It's easy to sing the songs. It's easy to sit in church. It's easy to say hallelujah. But boy, the world shakes when God's people pray, when they worship, when they release, when they say, Lord, here I am, in you I trust. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Church, is praying for healing right now, praying for release right now, praying for some of y'all to come and get baptized right now, others of you to receive Christ for the first time right now, others of you, I love you. Listen, you know that drugs, you know that stuff's got you. God wants to break it out of your life because it's hurting you and he loves you that much. Let that go. Some of y'all been sneaking around in some stuff you don't need to be sneaking around in. Well, let go of it and let God heal you. God's not here to condemn you. He's here to love you, forgive you, bring you to new life. So in the name of Jesus, this altar is open. Come on, church. Let's pray together. Let's let God have his way. Let God change people today. Let God change you today. Come on, church. If you need him, he loves you. Come on, he's bringing people forward right now. He's bringing people to salvation right now. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being bold. Thank you for being real. Get honest before God. He loves you deeply. He loves you deeply. He loves you deeply.